Well, hello, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's August. A lot of schools are going back right now. It's the 2nd of August, 2021, and welcome to today's show. We have a lovely guest today. We've got a first-time guest, Dr. Lynn Kep. Lynn is the Vice President of Executive Communications at AVID. Well, AVID, A-V-I-D, is an acronym for a nonprofit. It's called Advancement Via Individual Determination, A-V-I-D. And from what I'm gathering, I don't know them that well. We'll find out more as we go through this. Okay, they're trying to close this opportunity gap with a very strong and rigorous college and career readiness framework for kids, obviously, in the K-12 area. So we're going to get into all the details on that. And as you all know, if you listen, I am a big fan of a rigorous curriculum. So I think Lynn and I are going to have a nice conversation today. Would y'all start in just a minute or so? We're going to archive the show, as we always do, over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our Consortium for Equity in Education, okay, which is growing every day. Thank you all. All right, a lot of teachers are signing up, et cetera. And, of course, the industry is very involved. They support us a great deal. It's a place where the industry and educators can get together. All right, again, ace-ed.org. We publish our online journal, and it's right there, okay? It's called Equity and Access Pre-K-12, and you'll love it. The brand-new issue just came out. It's our first of two back-to-school issues. And, again, everything we do over there is free over at ace-ed.org. All the podcasts are over there, all the ones we've ever done. You'll see the icon, plus tons of other news. So get involved with us. Like I say, it's all free over at ace-ed.org, and enjoy the magazine, which is really a tremendous issue. And enough about us. Let's talk about AVID. Hi, Lynn. I'm Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Larry. How about yourself?
Well, I am just fine, as a matter of fact. Were you San Jose? Where are you?
No, I'm actually in San Diego, California. San Jose area code, formerly from San Jose, but now in San
Diego.
There
you
go.
That's what threw me. I didn't think I was that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I kind of knew that. Okay,
you
so you
got
went
it?
South. You went south to the place where it is always room temperature, San Diego.
That's
always room
correct.
Temperature, 75
mm-hmm.
degrees and sunny all the time. And we're talking cross country. I live in Maine. Okay, so how's the weather out there today? 75 and sunny. What is it?
Well, it's actually going to get a little bit warmer than 75, but it is sunny right now. It's absolutely perfect.
And then we'll talk quickly, because I know you're going to go to the beach. Okay, so we'll talk quickly.
I wish.
Yeah.
That little thing called work gets in the way of it.
And I'll say it again, don't we all? Lynn, tell us about what you do there, but tell us about AVID. I know it's a nonprofit, and I'm going to say it's an acronym again. Thank you for another acronym, by the way. Advancement via Individual Determination. We never run short of them. But tell us what it's all about. I'm just going to start right there. Give us the basics.
Certainly. So AVID is an organization. This is our 41st year where we've been working in I think one of the best kept secrets in education, and we work at a very large scale. We currently each year work with about 7,500 school districts and school sites in 47 states and support millions of students each year. Yes. And
I have to apologize that I didn't know about you till now. I'm so glad we connected.
That's okay.
Wow.
We're really
Thank
glad
you.
That we connected too.
Oh, yeah.
Because what AVID really is about is thinking about closing the opportunity gap is a challenging problem. If it was easy to solve, it would have already been solved, because educators are many, many smart people, but we're working inside the systems and context. And so AVID really thinks about a framework to help both educators, students, and systems prepare students to be college, career, and what I like to say is life ready.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you know, right now, as we look forward in the pandemic, helped highlight this, we don't even know what careers our students of today will be pursuing. You know, the world is changing so quickly.
That's right.
You know, we can prepare students for the future careers. But again, when I was teaching, I wouldn't think about there's these, all these different things out there with artificial intelligence. And so what Avid really does is help students really learn for all that's possible. How can we help them develop skills that we know as educators and businesses and careers need for students, not only to have the content knowledge, but those skills around collaboration, inquiry, communication, mm-hmm. reading, all of that. So Avid really helps have a framework to help school systems and students and educators help students to learn for all that's possible.
So what do you do? I know you have a curriculum. We're going to talk about
mm-hmm.
that. But how do you work within a school district? I'll say it that
sure.
way. Do you send like a team of 30 teachers, or do you send them a ream of paper with all the stuff written on it? You know what I'm asking. Okay,
well,
how do you actually
yes.
get in there and do the job?
Well, Avid actually is more of a systemic approach to help sites and schools solve issues of opportunity and access.
Cool.
And so we work with the school leaders and think about how they set up their instruction, their systems, their culture, mm. and their leadership. And we work with the educators. We each year engage more than typically 80,000 educators a year in ongoing professional learning. And what we work
wow.
with those educators, and
wow.
they're across all subject areas, and including educator, there is an Avid elective course where there's an educator who works with students who may have been traditionally underserved by the schools,
yep.
who may need additional support and strategies. But we work with all subject areas, and we work with those educators to help prepare students for, you know, the students to have, be ready for rigorous academic preparation,
sure.
to build their agency and opportunity knowledge. And we work with educators to help them have instructional strategies and skills to help those students be successful in their courses. You know, what I like
Go
to think
ahead.
About
yeah.
it, Larry, is like, you know, you were a teacher and I was a high school teacher,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And you would probably
yeah.
teach your students, how do you put your name on your paper? How do you take notes? And then they would go from your class to my class, and I would have a whole different process.
That's
and when,
thank you.
That's
yes.
just,
yes.
Well, that's just one of the small examples of at Avid. We'd work with that and those instructional leaders and those educators so that we have some common processes, some common expectations around organization and around note-taking, et cetera, so that we could focus more on the content and not have our students be focused on playing the game of school.
I like that. And so what do? You get a – let's just say you go into one of the San Diego high schools, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there, do you work – and I know you're working with the administrators the way you're saying it. So they gather together, just to help me out here, a grouping of teachers or all the teachers? Because I like what you're
yes.
saying here, because – it is too siloed, and, you know, you close the classroom door. And every teacher will agree with
mm-hmm.
this, by the way. You close the classroom door, you're doing your own thing, okay? But in reality,
yeah.
and the key word that you said, it's a system, okay? And we don't
yeah.
operate it like a system, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't, it's
yeah.
I hate to say this, but let me say it just the way I mean it. It's not an efficient system because the product, the kid, is moving through different ways of organization every time they move every 45 minutes or whatever it is, all right? And so we have to get a system into operation. It sounds to me that's what you guys are really doing. Am I correct?
Well, there's a combination of that. So typically how we begin in a school site or a district is we do have a leader and teachers who are interested in implementing an Avid elective course for a subset of their students. But they don't implement that alone. They come as a team, a site team of an elective teacher
mm-hmm.
and content area teachers and leaders and counselors. And it starts typically as a team. And the team begins to think about how can we apply these ideas and these strategies and also change our beliefs about all students can learn so that I not only have
yeah,
tools
yeah,
and strategies,
thank you.
But and
yeah.
I know as a teacher, I went into teaching believing all students can learn, but I actually didn't know how to help them do that. And so in my heart, I believe that, but it became very easy to be discouraged when I didn't know how to teach them how to study. I didn't know how to teach them how to make sense of difficult academic text. And so while I might have believed that, I didn't have the strategies
yeah.
to enact my beliefs fully. And some things I did, I just fell into it. Other things I didn't. So avid educators both learn instructional strategies, they have the beliefs, they break down barriers to help those students, and they advocate for students. So it starts as an elective, but eventually you can go school-wide and have all the educators in your school site and even in your district learn these instructional strategies, this belief system, helping students set goals, have visions for college and careers, and it can change the entire culture of both the students and the educators on campus. So it's not just strategies, it's also mindset.
Yep. It is mindset, and I want to get back. First of all, I just want to ask you real quick, what grades are we talking about? Are we talking about K-12? Or,
the
so you can start working this.
Typically is 6 through 12, but we start in the elementary schools with the elementary teachers to help begin to build, set goals. If you want to do this, how do you do that? How do you look at text? How do you take notes? We can start at kindergarten. Mm-hmm.
So you will go into a school district, if I may, I'm just kind of painting a picture here, talk to the superintendent, mm-hmm. their team, gather the principals around, okay, and gradually you'll move it from, if I may, an elective to a whole system, okay, working on this to help the kids
mm-hmm.
that need it the most. Right.
Well, and school-wide, and actually, the elective is focused on kids who traditionally may need additional support because they were underserved, but school-wide, all students on campus would have the same, so everyone on campus would experience these similar strategies, beliefs, support, career, and college and career preparedness, how are we setting goals, so it would happen throughout the entire school.
It's really good, and I want to talk about my favorite word, which is rigor. Okay, well, it's not my favorite word, but it's one of my favorite words when I'm talking about education. Because,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people get into a rut; they don't think the kids can learn. The matter of fact is, most kids will rise to the occasion if we give them the rigorous curriculum they deserve. Okay, as opposed
mm-hmm.
to a watered
mm-hmm.
down curriculum, assuming these kids are going nowhere. And if you assume
mm-hmm.
that, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's exactly where they
mm-hmm.
go, unless they can really
mm-hmm.
get around
yep.
it. So when you folks at Avid use the word rigor and a rigorous curriculum, okay, I want to know a couple of things. A, what do you mean when you say that? And B, how do teachers react to it? And I bet you're giving them tremendous statistics about how the kids react to it to get them going. But just talk about the whole idea of your approach with rigor. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm. So we focus on rigorous academic probation. I mean, not probation, excuse me. Academic preparation.
Yes, I knew what you meant.
Our goal is really to have students see themselves in taking the most rigorous courses. So we don't necessarily work with the educators on day in and day out thinking about their lesson, but we want them to make sure they're teaching rigorous content at grade level. And what do students need to do to be successful in rigorous coursework? So, for example, if I am a ninth grader in high school and I have a goal of becoming a veterinarian, I'm going to need to have science and math. So, but if I was underserved in my middle school and I'm maybe just in algebra as a ninth grader, how can I make sure that I have support structures to help me be successful? Because my goal is I want to get into the college prep courses. I want to maybe take AP courses or IB or honors. So Avid works with students in the elective to help them build those skills. We have tutorials,
cool.
but we also work with all students if they're in the school-wide. Things about one of the biggest game changers is disciplinary literacy. How do you help students who might not be at grade level reading break down and process academic text that is at grade level?
Well,
right? How do you help them with the writing strategies? It's those things that we believe help promote rigorous academic preparation. And again, not to have what I think is a culture of low expectations, but high expectation for students,
exactly.
because we've given them students the tools and agency to be able to, you know, identify even, and then students can say, this is where I'm confused. I need help. They have agency to identify their learning gaps, work with teachers, work with their peers. So all of that becomes this just beautiful system where, you know, the expectations are high, the students are focused on achieving goals, they can identify their challenges, and the educators and students are working together.
It's great stuff. And by the way, Lynn Kapp, everybody, is our guest from avid.org, A-V-I-D, avid.org, and it's Dr. Lynn Kapp. And Lynn, talk to me about where all this began. Who came up with Avid? Well, I know it's 41 years old. You were not even born when this started. Okay, am I correct?
No, I was born.
Just say, just go.
Yeah, I wish.
I still have many, many years to go before I was born, so I have no idea. Sorry for snorting. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay, so where did it all start? Because and I have to ask,
yeah,
has it always been like this? Because the whole idea of helping kids who are underserved and perhaps in under-resourced schools or districts, which is a terrible tragedy. Okay, how did, you know, it's 41 years ago, it was a long time. Okay, how did it start? Give us a little bit of history. This is great.
Sure. It started with an educator in San Diego, California, Mary Catherine Swanson, who taught at a school that was a high-achieving, primarily white school, at which students were being bused in, I think it was bused in, but coming the next year into the school from schools in San Diego who were typically underserved.
Yep.
And began to think about how can we support students in this transition, and she began to start this program, which has many of the components that it has today. She worked with a team of teachers. She brought in, and we still have today, a tutorial sessions where we have Socratic tutorials where college students come in and help students identify points of confusion and solve their own learning problems. It just built this tremendous, and it was not easy. She faced many challenges, and this happens, as you've seen in movies, when students who educators traditionally have beliefs that they won't be successful when they become successful.
Exactly.
It's actually questioned. Did they do this legitimately? All those things happen. There's actually a book about it called The Wall of Fame. But so over 40, and then from there, it scaled in San Diego, across California, and then nationally. And it's similar. There are differences.
Well,
the differences are focusing on beyond the Avid elective to the entire school, thinking about elementary and how do we build this continuous system. So building off that very strong foundation and continuing to grow and think about how can we at Avid work with educators to build systems and success to help people be ready for college, career, and life. And if you go to our YouTube channel, we have alumni who are from that first class and alumni who will talk about the habits of learning to learn for all this, affect them in their entire life. They still
Those kids are 60,
go back
by the way.
And think
Those
about
kids are
things.
Over 60, man, that first class.
Yes.
Those kids are 60. It's a long time ago now. And I know I'm not even going to ask them because
they're not
I know
quite
you have
60.
The,
one of them's on our board, so don't call him 60. He's not that
okay.
old yet.
You're in your 50s, dude, or
close.
Lady.
He's
okay,
close. Yeah,
but no cigar.
Yeah.
It's a long time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at something interesting here on your website. Again, everybody, it's avid.org. And it's a picture of a bunch of very happy students, kids, okay? And they're all wearing Avid T-shirts, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do the students understand that they are working in an Avid program? Or is it just that's basically the question. Do they know they're involved in Avid, or do the teachers are the teachers the only ones who know that this curriculum is an Avid curriculum? Talk about that.
Well, so Avid, that we don't necessarily have a curriculum. We have framework and lessons for
framework.
The Avid elective.
Thank you.
For
I used the wrong word. Thank you.
Now, to be in the elective, students usually apply to be in the elective. They're not just placed and assigned. Parents are involved and students are recruited and apply to be in the elective. So if you're in the elective, it's you will see students in shirts. Now, some places where it's school-wide, that you go to a school and all the students are in Avid. So everyone might be wearing an Avid shirt. So it just depends on what the school is doing and how they're thinking about it. But we do go to schools where every kid says every kid's an Avid kid here. So it just depends on where the school is in their journey.
It's so interesting. And how over the years have school districts, and you've expanded San Diego internationally, okay? How have school districts, and again, I apologize for not knowing you guys. How do people find out about you? What shows do you go to? Where's the influence lie? I'm curious. It's really
well,
cool.
Well, that's a great question. So, again, I think Avid is one of the best kept secrets that shouldn't be. So we're trying to not be a secret because students,
exactly.
We have tremendous results. So not only people feel this way, we make a huge difference and we can prove it. Like our students, our seniors take, our students take more AP, more honors. Our elected students graduate
right.
college at, they complete. So we got results not only to back up this feeling. But at Avid, we attend some conferences locally in our biggest states, California, Florida, and Texas. But it's really interesting. We primarily grow through word of mouth, through educators and leaders who then transition to other places. And they're like, I'm going to this place, and we need Avid here. And so, for example, like our CEO was a superintendent for 18 years in the three districts that implemented Avid. So typically leaders who have experience this with success when they transition someplace new, bring that in. But we also talk to schools and districts all the time. We host showcases where people could come in pre-COVID, visit schools. Right now we do them virtually where we'll meet students and educators. So, and they're recorded and on our website. So there's just different things that we do to try to engage educators. But it's really been through word of mouth.
It's really something. And you said it's, I'm going to get this right. It's in 47 states, Avid is.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger ones, well, they're bigger states, California and Texas. And are you up
in Florida?
Are you in Maine? Are you guys in Maine? Or are we one of the three outliers?
I would have to look. I don't know.
Oh.
I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Let me know.
Three states where we're not. I will let you know. And I did say
one
of the things.
We're
in
the upper right-hand corner. We're up in the upper right-hand corner.
I got it.
I'll
look it up and see. We did, probably about 20 years ago, we were on 60 Minutes, too. There was a story done on Mary Catherine, and that did help to get the word out. But so we've had some great fortune and wonderful leadership and spoken at conferences and done this, but we're a nonprofit and so we focus on growing, but we don't do tons of marketing and things like that.
Yeah, you've been on 60 Minutes, so you did the small stuff. Now you're on Education Talk Radio. I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. See how things are getting better every minute.
Think. Yes, yes.
That's simple. I'm only kidding, believe me. Okay? Believe me. You know, I want
to
just read this quote. I'm on the website. There's this kid, a student, high school kid, obviously, Victor. Okay? I don't know his last name or anything, but I just want to read this. It is with him talking. The average Avid program not only pushes students, but it teachers to set those goals and do whatever it takes to achieve them, okay? And then you have Cynthia here, a teacher, and she wrote, I completely changed the way I teach. It's just amazing the difference it's made in my teaching and students' learning, all right? That all said, those are wonderful quotes, by the way, and great testament to you, to what you folks do. I am curious, and Lynn, you must think about this. We are always chasing teachers after they go to education school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They need help, and the kids need help. And I'm trying to always figure out why I know there's a lot of great things out there, and Avid is one of them. Why aren't the education schools picking up on this? Are they? I'm curious about that. Dr. Kapp, what's your thoughts?
Sure. Well, my research was on pre-service education, and I've taught three different pre-service education programs
there
in
you
California.
Go, doctor.
This is a passion of mine as well. I think there's multiple reasons. So, first of all, there are some schools of education focused on this, and there's programs in Clarksville, Tennessee, with a university there where they are focused on helping pre-service teachers think about these strategies. I think one of the challenges is, as I said, this is a district implementation. So it's, I think it's difficult for pre-service programs. They can think about these things, but as they're preparing teachers to go out many different places in the country, it is difficult to figure out all the different things that school districts may be doing in their local context. On the other hand, I think it is very important for educators and pre-service educators to develop skills and strategies around how to help students
exactly.
to learn. So
how to help
all
students
tricky.
To learn.
Yeah.
It's the
yeah.
definition
yeah.
of equity. Equity
mm-hmm.
isn't equality.
Yeah.
Equity is equity. And equity means
yeah.
you're giving each student what they need. And if certain kids, be it because of a socioeconomic situation or a
mm-hmm.
language situation or whatever, okay,
mm-hmm.
if they need the help they need, all I'm saying, you guys are on the right track. Okay, and we need the education schools to recognize this, okay, and see the success that you have, you at avid.org have. And by the way, that was Austin Peay University, I think you were thinking of.
That is right. You are
Thank
correct.
You.
I couldn't think
I
of the
thought
name.
So. Yeah, it's okay.
You got it. That's exactly the university.
You know, this is
and
great
I will
stuff
say,
yes, yes.
We are,
yes?
we are. I believe we are in Maine.
Yeah.
Right. Avid is in Maine, I think. It's Marshwood Middle School and Karabek High School in Maine, I think.
They sure are. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yep, we're in Maine.
Thank you for being on behalf of Lobsters of America. I thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yes.
The
yeah,
lobsters
welcome.
Are all walking to Canada now. We need you guys more than ever here. Okay. The Gulf of Maine, where the lobsters live, is warming faster than most other bodies of water. Lobsters need cold water. Hence, they are walking because there is no immigration gates under the sea. Okay, they are walking to Canada, which really isn't that far away. It's colder up there.
Wow.
Okay, so we need your help here. So I'm glad you're at Kennebunk.
Yeah.
Kennebunk. Okay, I don't know where that
Kennebec.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's not Kennebunk. That's where George Bush lived.
Kennebec. No, not there.
Okay, just so you know. Well, this is really great stuff, I have to tell you. It's we should do more together. I'm very pleased with knowing you, I have to tell you. This is great.
Oh, we'd love to talk to you. Love to talk. Do you want to talk to anyone? We have great schools and districts and leaders who are doing incredible things to change the culture.
I would love to do
some.
I would love to do
school.
Shows, yeah, and have that. You bring them with you. Okay?
Of course.
Have them call in as
to.
Well.
Be happy to.
Let's hear about what they're doing, because this is acting on equity. Okay? And
yes.
I invite you, please, go over to our website, which is ace-head.org. You will enjoy what we do over there, and you'll love our magazine. Okay?
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely.
I checked
this
it
is
out.
The heart of what
out.
You
Looks
guys
great.
Are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, for doing that. Because we're on the same wavelength here. It's great stuff. Lynn, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry. Have a great day.
You too. And we'll be in touch all the way across the country. It's now possible. Okay? So thank
yes,
you.
It is.
Okay?
All right.
You
thank
have
you.
A wonderful
okay,
day.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Goodbye.
Everybody, that's, again, I want to say this, Avid, A-V-I-D, avid.org, and that was Dr. Lynn Kep. And Lynn is the Vice President of Executive Communications over there. And it's a pretty amazing system. And if you go over to avid.org, you'll see what I'm talking about there. And a lot of happy kids and a lot of happy teachers. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'll be back and talk to you soon. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks so much for listening. All of you, have a great day. Enjoy August.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.